2016. As regards the fact that all good and the derivative truth are from the Lord, this is an established truth. The angels are in the perception of it to such a degree that they perceive that in so far as anything is from the Lord, it is good and true, and that in so far as it is from themselves, it is evil and false. They also confess this before novitiate souls, and before spirits who are in doubt of it. Indeed, they go so far as to say that it is by the Lord that they are withheld from the evil and falsity arising from their proprium, and are kept in good and truth. Moreover, the very withholding and the influx itself are perceptible to them. See Numbers 16:14. But as to man supposing that he does good from himself and thinks truth from himself, this is an appearance, because he is in a state of no perception and in a state of the greatest obscurity in respect to influx. And therefore he infers this from the appearance, indeed from the fallacy, from which he by no means suffers himself to be withdrawn, so long as he has belief in nothing but the senses, and so long as he reasons from them whether it is so. But although the case is as stated, man nevertheless ought to do good and to think truth as from himself, for in no other way can he be reformed and regenerated. The reason of which may be seen above, number 1937, 1947. The verse now before us treats of the Lord's human essence that was to be united to the divine essence, and that all good and truth would thereby come to man from his divine essence through his human essence, is a divine arcanum which few believe, because they do not apprehend it. For they suppose that the divine good is able to reach to man without the Lord's human united to the divine. But that this cannot be done has been already shown in a few words. Number 1676, 1990. To this effect, that man has removed himself so far from the supreme divine, by the cupidities in which he has immersed himself, and by the falsities with which he has blinded himself, that there could not possibly be any influx of the divine into the rational part of his mind, except through the human which the Lord united in himself to the divine. Through his human, communication has been effected, for thereby the supreme divine has been able to come to man. This the Lord says openly in many places, for he says that he is the way, and that no one cometh to the Father but by him. This then is what is here affirmed, that from him, namely from the human united to the divine, is all good and all truth. verse 7. And I will set up my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee unto their generations, for an eternal covenant, to be to thee for God, and to thy seed after thee. I will set up my covenant between me and thee, signifies union, and thy seed after thee, signifies conjunction with those who have faith in him. Unto their generations, signifies those things which are of faith. For an eternal covenant, signifies conjunction with these. To be to thee for God, signifies the Lord's divine in himself. And to thy seed after thee, signifies the divine thence derived with those who have faith in him. 2018. I will set up my covenant between me and thee. That this signifies union is evident from the signification of a covenant as being union, explained before, number 665, 666, 10:23, 10:38, which union has been treated of in this chapter and many times before. And it has been shown that Yahweh, who here speaks, was in the Lord, because he was one with him from first conception and from birth. For the Lord was conceived from Yahweh, and hence his internal was Yahweh. This has been further illustrated by what is similar in man, number 1999, namely that his soul is one with his body, or his internal with his external, although they are distinct from each other, and sometimes so distinct that the one fights with the other, as is wont to be the case in temptations, in which the internal reproves the external and desires to reject the evil that is in it. And still they are conjoined, or are one, because both soul and body belong to the same man. Take, for example, one whose thought differs from what he shows in his looks, speaks with his mouth, and acts by his gesture. There is in him an interior which is at variance with the external, but still they are one. For the thought is the man's as much as are the external looks, mouth, and gestures. But there is a union when the look, the speech of the lips, and the gestures accord with the thought. Thus much for illustration. 2019. And thy seed after thee. That this signifies conjunction with those who have faith in him is evident from the signification of seed as being faith, treated of number 1025, 1447, 1610, and also from the signification of after thee as being to follow. To walk after someone is an expression that is often made use of in the word, as in Jeremiah 7, verse 6, 8, verse 2, Ezekiel 20, verse 16, also Mark 8, verse 34, Luke 9, verse 23, 14, verse 27. In this passage, therefore, thy seed after thee signifies those who are in faith and follow him, in the internal sense, who are born of him. 2020. Unto their generations. That this signifies the things that are of faith is evident from the signification of generations as being the things which are generated and born of charity, that is, all the things of faith, or what is the same, all who are regenerated by the Lord, and thus in whom there is the faith of charity. Concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy more will be said hereafter. That in the internal sense generations and also births are such things was shown in part first, number 613, 1041, 1145, 1330. 2021. For an eternal covenant. That this signifies conjunction with these is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction, explained before, number 665, 666, 1023, 1038. And that it is with those who are called his seed is evident from its immediately following, and because a covenant is spoken of a second time in this verse. The covenant first spoken of refers to the union of Yahweh with the human essence, and the second mention of a covenant refers to the conjunction with those who are the seed. In order that a more distinct idea may be formed concerning the union of the Lord's divine essence with his human essence, and concerning the Lord's conjunction with the human race through the faith of charity, it may be well here and in what follows to call the former union, but the latter conjunction. Between the Lord's divine essence and his human essence there was a union, But between the Lord and the human race, there is a conjunction through the faith of charity, as is evident from the fact that Yahuwah, or the Lord, is life, and that its human essence also was made life, as shown above. And between life and life there is union. Whereas man is not life, but a recipient of life, as also has been shown before. And when life flows into a recipient of life, there is conjunction. For it is adapted to the recipient as is the active to the passive, or as that which is in itself alive to that which is in itself dead, and which lives therefrom. The principal and the instrumental, as they are termed, do indeed appear to be conjoined together as if they were one, but still they are not one. For the former is by itself, and the latter is by itself. Man does not live from himself, but the Lord in mercy adjoins man to himself, and thereby causes him to live to eternity. And because the Lord and man are thus distinct, it is called conjunction. 2022. To be to thee for God. That this signifies the Lord's divine in himself is evident from what has been said above respecting the Lord's divine essence, that it was in himself. 2023. And to thy seed after thee. That this signifies the divine thence derived with those who have faith in him is evident from the signification of seed as being the faith of charity. See number 1025, 1447, 1610. And also from the signification of after thee as being to follow him, explained just above, number 2019. The divine with those who have faith in the Lord is love and charity. By love is meant love to the Lord. By charity, love towards the neighbor. Love to the Lord cannot possibly be separated from love towards the neighbor. For the Lord's love is towards the whole human race, which he wills to save eternally and to adjoin wholly to himself, so that not one of them may perish. He therefore who has love to the Lord has the Lord's love, and thereby can do no otherwise than love his neighbor. But those who are in love towards the neighbor are not at all for that reason in love to the Lord, as for example the well-disposed Gentiles who are in ignorance respecting the Lord, but with whom the Lord is nevertheless present in charity, as shown in part first, number 1032, 1059, and also others within the church, for love to the Lord is in a higher degree. Those who have love to the Lord are celestial men, but those who have love towards the neighbor or charity are spiritual men. The most ancient church, which was before the flood and was celestial, was in love to the Lord. But the ancient church, which was after the flood and was spiritual, was in love towards the neighbor or in charity. This distinction between love and charity will be observed when they are mentioned hereafter. 2024, verse 8. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land of thy sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an eternal possession, and I will be to them for God. I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land of thy sojournings. Signifies that the Lord acquired to himself all things by his own forces, which are the land of the sojournings. I will give unto thee. Signifies that the things which are in the heavens and on the earth are his. And to thy seed after thee, signifies that he would give them to those who should have faith in him. All the land of Canaan signifies the celestial kingdom. For an eternal possession signifies to eternity. And I will be to them for God, signifies that God is one. 2025. I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land of thy sojournings. That this signifies that the Lord acquired to himself all things by his own forces, which are the land of the sojourning, is evident from the signification of sojourning as being to be instructed. See number 1463. And as a man acquires life to himself, especially by means of instruction in scientifics, doctrinal matters, and the cognitions of faith, therefore sojourning signifies the life so acquired. As applied to the Lord, sojourning signifies the life which he procured to himself by means of cognitions, combats of temptations, and victories therein. And as he procured for himself that life by his own forces, this is here signified by the land of the sojournings. That the Lord procured all things to himself by his own forces, and by his own forces united the human essence to the divine essence, and the divine essence to the human essence, and that he alone thus became justice, is clearly evident in the prophets, as in Isaiah. Who is this that cometh from Edom, marching in the multitude of his strength? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was none with me. I looked around, and there was none to help. And I was amazed, and there was none to uphold. Therefore mine arm brought salvation unto me. 63, verses 1, 3, and 5. Edom denotes the Lord's human essence, strength and arm, force. That this was from what was his own is clearly said, in that there was no one to help, no one to uphold, and that his own arm brought salvation unto him. In the same prophet, he saw that there was not anyone, and he was amazed that there was none to intercede, and his arm achieved salvation unto him, and his justice supported him. And he put on justice as a coat of mail, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. 59, verses 16 and 17. This means also by his own force, and that thereby he became justice. That the Lord is justice is stated in Daniel. 70 weeks are decreed to expiate iniquity, and to bring in the justness of the ages, and to seal up vision and prophet, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. 9, verse 24. And in Jeremiah, I will raise unto David a just offshoot, and he shall reign as king, and shall act with understanding, and shall do judgment and justice in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in confidence. And this is his name, whereby they shall call him, Yahuwah our Justice. 23, verses 5 and 6. 33, verses 15 and 16. For this reason he is also called the Habitation of Justice. In Jeremiah 31, verse 23, 50, verse 7, and in Isaiah 9, verse 6, Wonderful and Hero. The reason why the Lord so often attributes to the Father that which is his own has been explained above, number 1999, 20:04. For Yahuwah was in him, and consequently in everything that was his. This can be illustrated by what is similar, though not equal, in the case of man. A man's soul is in him, and as it is in him, it is in the most minute particulars of him, that is, in the most minute particulars of his thought and of his action. Whatever has not his soul in it is not his. The Lord's soul was life itself, or esse itself, which is Yahuwah, for he was conceived from Yahuwah. And consequently Yahuwah, or life itself, was in his most minute particulars. And as life itself, or being itself, which is Yahuwah, was his, as the soul is man's, so that which was Yahuwah's was his, which is what the Lord says, that he is in the bosom of the Father, John 1, verse 18, and that all things whatsoever that the Father hath are his, John 16, verse 15, 17, verses 10 and 11. From good, which is Yahuwah's, he united the divine essence to the human essence, and from truth he united the human essence to the divine essence. Thus he did all things both in general and in particular from himself. In fact, his human was left to itself in order that he might fight of himself against all the hells and overcome them. And as he had life in himself that was his own, as already said, he overcame them by his own power and by his own forces, as is also clearly stated in the prophets, in the passages that have been cited. Consequently, as he acquired all things for himself by his own forces, he became justice, delivered the world of spirits from infernal genii and spirits, and thereby rescued the human race from destruction. For the human race is ruled by means of spirits, and so redeemed it. For this reason he is so often called in the word of the Old Testament, the Deliverer and the Redeemer and the Savior, which is the meaning of his name, Jesus. That by I will give unto thee is meant that the things which are in the heavens and on the earth are his, follows from what has just been said. In the sense of the letter, the words I will give unto thee mean that God or Yahuwah would give to the Lord, just as it is said in the word of the evangelists that the Father gave unto him all things that are in heaven and on the earth. But in the internal sense, in which the truth itself is presented in its purity, it means that the Lord acquired them for himself, because Yahuwah was in him and in everything belonging to him, as before said. This may be further illustrated by that which is like it, for it is as if the interior or rational man, or the thought, should say that the corporeal would have rest or tranquility if it would desist from doing this or that. In this case, he that speaks is the same man as he that is spoken to, for both the rational and the corporeal belong to the man. And therefore, when mention is made of the former, the latter also is understood. Moreover, that the things in the heavens and on the earth are the Lord's, is evident from very many passages in the Word, both in the Old Testament and also in the Evangelists, as Matthew 11, verse 27, Luke 10, verse 22, John 3, verses 34 and 35, 17, verse 2, Matthew 28, verse 18, and also from what has been shown in Part First, number 458, 551, 552, 1607. And as the Lord rules the universal heavens, he also rules all things on earth. For they have been so connected together that he who rules the one rules all things. For on the heaven of angels depends the heaven of angelic spirits, on this the world of spirits, and on this again the human race. And in like manner on the heavens depend all things that are in the world and in nature. For without influx from the Lord through the heavens, nothing that is in nature and its three kingdoms could come forth and endure. See number 1632. 2027. That to thy seed after thee signifies that he would give all these things to those who should have faith in him, is evident from the signification of seed as being faith. See number 1025, 1447, 1610, and in fact the faith of charity. See number 379, 389, 654, 724, 809, 916, 1017, 1162, 1176, 1258. They who place merit in the actions of their lives have not the faith of charity, and therefore are not the seed here meant. For thereby they desire to be saved, not because of the Lord's justice, but because of their own. That there is no faith of charity in them, that is, no charity, is evident from the fact that they set themselves above others, and thus regard themselves and not others, except in so far as they are of service to them. And they either despise or hate those who are not willing to render them service. Thus by the love of self they dissociate and never consociate, and thus destroy what is celestial, namely mutual love, which gives heaven its stability. For heaven itself is in it, and all its consociation and unanimity subsist and consist in it. For in the other life, whatever destroys unanimity is contrary to the order of heaven itself, and thus conspires to the destruction of the whole. Such are those who place merit in the actions of their lives, and claim justice for themselves. Of these there are many in the other life. They sometimes shine in the face like little torches, but from a foolish fire that proceeds from self-justification, and in fact they are cold. They are sometimes seen running about and confirming self-merit from the literal sense of the word, for they hate the truths which are of the internal sense. Number 1877. Their sphere is a sphere of self-regard, and is thus destructive of all ideas that do not regard self as a kind of deity. The sphere of many of this sort together is so conflicting that there is nothing there but enmity and hostility. For when everyone desires the same thing, namely to be served, he murders others in his heart. Some of them are among those who say that they have labored in the Lord's vineyard, whereas they have at the same time continually had in mind their own preeminence, glory, and honors, as well as gain, and even that they might become the greatest in heaven and be served by the angels, in heart despising others in comparison with themselves, and thus being imbued with no mutual love in which heaven consists, but with the love of self in which they place heaven. For they know not what heaven is. Respecting such, see above, number 450 to 452, 1594, 1679. These are of those who desire to be first, but become last. Matthew 19, verse 30. 20, verse 16. Mark 10, verse 31. And who say that they have prophesied by the name of the Lord, and have done many wonderful works, but to whom it is said, I know you not. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Very different is the case with those who from simplicity of heart have supposed that they merit heaven, and have lived in charity. These have looked upon meriting heaven as something that is promised, and they readily acknowledge it to be of the Lord's mercy. For the life of charity is attended with this. Charity itself loves all truth. 2028. All the land of Canaan. That this signifies the celestial kingdom is evident from the signification of the land of Canaan as being the celestial kingdom, as explained before. Number 1413, 1437, 1607. 2029. For an eternal possession. That this signifies what is eternal is evident without explanation. They are called possessors and also heirs, not from merit, but from mercy. 2030. And I will be to them for God. That this signifies that God is one is evident from the fact that the subject here treated of is the Lord's human essence that was to be united to his divine essence, and thereby itself likewise become God. Thus, I will be to them for God signifies in the internal sense that God is one. 2031, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, And thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee, unto their generations. God said unto Abraham signifies perception. And thou shalt keep my covenant signifies still closer union. Thou and thy seed after thee signifies that from him there is conjunction with all who have faith in him. Unto their generations signifies the things which are of faith. 2032. God said unto Abraham, That this signifies perception is evident from the signification of God said, in the historical sense of the word, as being to perceive. Explained before, number 1602, 1791, 1815, 1819, 1822. 2033. Thou shalt keep my covenant. That this signifies still closer union is evident from the signification of a covenant as being union and conjunction, treated of before at verses 2, 4, and 7, also in part 1st, number 665, 666, 1023, 1038. The repeated mention here of covenant, so frequently mentioned before, denotes a closer union. In the historical sense which relates to Abraham, nothing else can be said than that he is to keep the covenant. But in the internal sense in which the Lord is treated of, what is historical vanishes, and the things that can be predicated of him which relate to a closer union succeed in its place. The unition of the Lord's human essence with his divine essence was not effected all at once, but through the whole course of his life, from infancy to the last of his life in the world. Thus he ascended continuously to glorification, that is, to union, according to what is said in John. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice from heaven, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. 12, verse 28. See what was said above, number 1690, 1864. 2034. Thou and thy seed after thee. That this signifies that from him there is conjunction with all who have faith in him is evident from the signification of seed as being faith, spoken of several times before. And from the signification of after thee, as being to follow him, explained above, number 2019. The union of the divine essence with the human essence, and of the human essence with the divine essence, has already been treated of. And the subject here treated of is the conjunction of the Lord with those who believe in him. And therefore there is a repetition of the word thou. For it is said, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed. And from this repetition of the words in connection with seed, it is evident that in the internal sense, conjunction is signified. And in fact, with those who are the seed, by which is signified the faith of charity, as shown above. Number 1025, 1447, 1510. And that faith is charity itself may be seen in part first. Numbers 30-38, 379, 389, 654, 724, 809, 916, 1017, 1076, 1077, 1162, 1176, 1258, 1798, 1799, 1834, 1844. Moreover, when speaking of his union with the Father, the Lord speaks immediately and without a break of his conjunction with the human race, because this was the cause of the union, as is evident in John. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me. For I have made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. 17, verses 21, 22, and 26. From this it is evident that in the union of himself with the Father, the Lord had in view the conjunction of himself with the human race, and that he had this at heart because it was his love. For all conjunction is effected by means of love, love being conjunction itself. Again in the same gospel. Because I live, ye shall live also. In that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. 14, verses 19 to 21. From this in like manner it is evident that in the union of his human essence with his divine essence, the Lord had in view the conjunction of himself with the human race, and that this was his end, and this his love, which was such that the salvation of the human race, as beheld in the union of himself with his Father, was to him the inmost joy. There is also here described that which unites, namely, to have and to do his commandments, and thereby to love the Lord. Again, Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice from heaven, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. Jesus said, this voice hath not come for my sake, but for your sakes. But I, when I shall be lifted up from the earth, will draw all after me. 12, verses 28, 30, and 32. By glorification is meant union, as before said. And that in the union of himself with the Father, he regarded the conjunction of himself with the human race, is openly said in the words, when I shall be lifted up, I will draw all after me. That conjunction of the infinite, or supreme divine, with the human race was effected through the Lord's human made divine, and that this conjunction was the cause of the Lord's coming into the world, is an arcanum into which many inquire in their own minds, and because they do not comprehend, they do not believe it. And as they do not believe for the reason that they do not comprehend, it becomes a scandal or stumbling block to them. That this is so, I have learned from much experience from those who come into the other life. Very many of these, almost the greater part of those who had been men of talent in the world, when they merely think that the Lord became a man and in external form was like other men, that he suffered, and that nevertheless he rules the universe, at once fill the sphere with scandals, because this had been a scandal or stumbling block to them in the life of the body, although at that time they had divulged nothing about it, and had adored him with outward sanctity. For in the other life the interiors are open, and are made manifest by the sphere diffused from them. Treated of in Part First, Number 1048, 1053, 1316, 1504. In this way it is plainly perceived of what faith they had been, and what they had thought concerning the Lord. Seeing that such is the case, it may be well to explain the matter a little further. After all the celestial in man had perished, that is, all love to God, so that there was no longer any will of good, the human race had then been separated from the divine, for nothing affects conjunction except love. And when this had been annihilated, there was disjunction. And when there is disjunction, then destruction and extirpation follow. Therefore the promise was then made respecting the Lord's coming into the world, who should unite the human to the divine, and by this union should effect in himself the conjunction of the human race by means of the faith of love and of charity. From the time of the first promise, spoken of in Genesis 3, verse 15, the faith of love in the Lord who was to come effected conjunction. But when there was no longer any faith of love remaining in the whole world, then the Lord came and united the human essence to the divine essence, so that they were altogether one, as he himself clearly says. And at the same time he taught the way of truth, that every one who should believe in him, that is, who should love him and the things that are his, and who should be in his love, which is love towards the whole human race, thus in love towards the neighbor, should be conjoined and saved. When, in the Lord, the human was made divine and the divine human, the result was an influx of the infinite or supreme divine with man that otherwise could not possibly have existed. Hence also there was a dispersion of the direful persuasions of falsity and the direful cupidities of evil with which the world of spirits had become filled, and was becoming filled more and more from the souls arriving from the world. And those who were in those persuasions and cupidities were cast into hell, and thereby were separated. Unless this had been done, the human race would have perished, for the Lord rules the human race by means of spirits. Nor could they have been dispersed in any other way, for no operation of the divine was possible through man's rational things into those of internal sense, because these are far below the supreme divine when not so united, not to mention still deeper arcana that cannot be explained to the apprehension of any man. See what was said above, Number 1676, 1990. That in the heaven of the celestial angels, the Lord appears as a sun, and in the heaven of the spiritual angels, as a moon, and that the sun is the celestial of his love, and the moon the spiritual of his love. Number 1053, 1521, 1529 to 1531. And that all things, both in general and in particular, are under his view. Number 1274, 1277. Unto their generations. That this signifies the things which are of faith is evident from the signification of generations and of births as being the things that are of faith, concerning which see above, number 613, 1145, 1255, 1330. And that those which are of love and faith are related as by blood and marriage. Number 685, 917. 2036, verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, that every male be circumcised unto you. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, signifies a token of the conjunction of all with the Lord. And thy seed after thee signifies those who have faith in him. That every male be circumcised unto you signifies purity. 2037. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you. That this signifies a token of the conjunction of all with the Lord is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction, as explained before. That it is here the token of conjunction is evident from the next verse, where it is called a sign of a covenant. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and you. All the external rites of the church were signs of the covenant, and were to be sacredly observed, because internal things were signified by them. Circumcision, which is treated of here, was nothing but a representative and significative rite, and as such is explained in what follows. Nevertheless, in various passages of the word, such rites are called the covenant, for the reason that external things represented and thereby signified internal things. The internal things are what belong to the covenant, because they are effective of conjunction, and the external things are not so except by means of the internal ones. The external things were merely signs of the covenant, or tokens of the conjunction, by means of which they might call to mind the internal things, and thereby be conjoined by means of these. Respecting the signs of the covenant, see above number 1308. All the internal things that belong to the covenant, or that are effective of conjunction, relate to love and charity, and proceed from love and charity. For on these two things, namely, loving God more than oneself, and loving the neighbor as oneself, hang all the law and the prophets, that is, the universal doctrine of faith. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 39, Mark 12, verses 28 to 35. 2038. And thy seed after thee. That this signifies those who have faith in him is evident from the signification of seed as being the faith of charity, concerning which above. 2039. That every male be circumcised. That this signifies purity is evident from the representation and derivative signification in the internal sense of circumcising. Circumcision, or the cutting off of the foreskin, signified the removal and wiping away of those things that were impeding and defiling celestial love, and which are the evils of cupidities, especially the evils of the cupidities of the love of self, and the derivative falsities. The reason of this signification is that the organs of generation in both sexes represent celestial love. There are loves of three kinds that constitute the celestial things of the Lord's kingdom, namely, conjugal love, love for infants, and the love for society, or mutual love. Conjugal love is the chief love of all, because it has within it the end of greatest use, namely, the propagation of the human race, and thereby of the Lord's kingdom, of which it is the seminary. Love towards infants follows next, being derived from conjugal love. And then comes the love for society, or mutual love. Whatever covers up, obstructs, and defiles these loves is signified by the foreskin. And the cutting off of this, or circumcision, was therefore made representative. For in so far as the evils of cupidities and the falsities derived from them are removed, in so far the man is purified, and in so far celestial love can appear. How contrary to celestial love and how filthy is the love of self has been stated and shown above. Number 760, 1307, 1308, 1321, 1594, 2045, 2057. From what has now been said, it is clear that in the internal sense, circumcision signifies purity. That circumcision is only a sign of covenant or of conjunction may be plainly seen from considering that the circumcision of the foreskin amounts to nothing at all without the circumcision of the heart. And that it is the circumcision of the heart, or purification from the filthy loves above referred to, that is signified by it, as is plainly evident from the following passages in the Word. In Moses, Yahuwah thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, to love Yahuwah thy God in thy whole heart and in thy whole soul, that thou mayest live. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. From this it is evident that to circumcise the heart is to be purified from filthy loves, in order that Yahuwah God, or the Lord, may be loved with all the heart and with all the soul. In Jeremiah, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves unto Yahuwah, and take away the foreskin of your heart, O man of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. 4, verses 3 and 4. To circumcise oneself to Yahuwah, and remove the foreskin of the heart, is to remove such things as obstruct celestial love, all which shows that the circumcision of the heart is an interior thing that is signified by the circumcision of the foreskin. In Moses, ye shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and shall no longer harden your neck, doing the judgment of the orphan and the widow, and loving the stranger to give him bread and raiment. Deuteronomy 10, verses 16 and 18. Here also it is clear that to circumcise the foreskin of the heart is to be purified from the evils of filthy loves and from the falsities derived from them. The celestial things of love are described by these works of charity, namely, doing the judgment of the orphan and the widow, and loving the stranger to give him bread and raiment. In Jeremiah, behold, the days come, in which I will visit upon every one that is circumcised in the foreskin, upon Egypt and upon Judah, and upon Edom, and upon the sons of Ammon, and upon Moab, and upon all that are cut off at the corner, that dwell in the wilderness. For all the nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. 9:25-26. Here it is evident that circumcision is significative of purification, for they are called the circumcised in the foreskin, but still are reckoned among the uncircumcised nations, as are even the Jews. And Israel is said to be uncircumcised in heart. And it is the same in Moses. If then their uncircumcised heart be humbled. Leviticus 26:41. That by the foreskin and by one that is uncircumcised is signified uncleanness is evident in Isaiah. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on the garments of thy beauty, O Jerusalem, the city of holiness. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. 52:1. By Zion is meant the celestial church, and by Jerusalem the spiritual church, into which what is uncircumcised, that is, the unclean, shall not enter. That circumcision is a sign of a covenant or a token of conjunction is clearly evident from the fact that the same was represented by means of the fruits of trees, which also were to be circumcised, concerning which in Moses. When ye shall have come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees of food, ye shall circumcise the foreskin thereof, its fruit. 3 years shall they be unto you as uncircumcised, it shall not be eaten. And in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holiness for praises unto Yahuwah. Leviticus 19:23-24. Fruits, like the heart, represent and signify charity, as may be seen from many passages in the Word. And thus their foreskin signifies the uncleanness which obstructs and contaminates charity. Wonderful to say, when the angels who are in heaven have the idea of purification from natural defilements, with the utmost rapidity there is represented in the world of spirits something like circumcision, for the angelic ideas pass over into representatives in the world of spirits. In the Jewish church, something of the representative rites originated in this source, and some did not. Those with whom that quick circumcision was represented in the world of spirits were in the desire to be admitted into heaven. And before they were admitted, there was this representation. This shows why Joshua was commanded to circumcise the people when, having passed over Jordan, they were entering the land of Canaan. For the entrance of the people into the land of Canaan represented this very admission of the faithful into heaven. For this reason, circumcision was commanded a second time, concerning which in Joshua. Yahuwah said unto Joshua, Make these swords of flints, and circumcise the sons of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him swords of flints, and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And Yahuwah said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. And he called the name of that place Gilgal, rolling off. 5:2, 3, and 9. The swords of flints signify the truths with which they were to be imbued, in order that thereby they might castigate and disperse filthy loves. For without the cognitions of truth, no purification is possible. That a stone or flint signifies truths has been shown before. Number 643, 1298. And that a sword is predicated of the truths by which evils may be castigated is evident from the word.